Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Oh, what an interview. Harry and Meghan shocked everyone last night during their explosive sit down with Oprah Winfrey, and the royal family may never be the same again. I'm going to try not to yell like crazy because I've been screaming all morning ever since I watched this last night. There is so much to discuss. We had to bring in our top royals expert, Melanie Bromley, to the show. Oh my gosh. It's almost like we don't even know where to begin. So let's do this. Before we dive in, let's take a look at the top bombshells of the night.
It's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What? There's a conversation with you?
With Harry.
About how dark your baby is going to be?
Potentially, and what that would mean or look like.
That conversation I'm never going to share. But at the time it was awkward. I was a bit shocked.
Can you tell us what the question was?
No, I'm not comfortable sharing that.
Is he taking your calls now?
Yeah. He is. There's a lot to work through there. I feel really let down because he's been through something similar. I will always love him, but there's a lot of hurt that's happened.
I just had that conversation with Harry.
I don't want to be alive anymore.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. It was like, these are the thoughts that I'm having in the middle of the night that are very clear.
Clarification.
And I'm scared because this is very real.
Did you make Kate cry?
No.
So where did that come from?
It was a really hard week of the wedding, and she was upset about something, but she owned it, and she apologized, and she brought me flowers and a note apologizing.
There is this invisible, what's termed or referred to as the invisible contract behind closed doors between the institution and the tabloids. If you as a family member are willing to wine, dine, and give full access to these reporters, then you will get better press.
I think there's a reason that these tabloids have holiday parties at the palace.
Okay, now, before we get into everything, we need to at least comment that this part. The palace has not commented on the interview. Okay, lots of mixed feelings about this.
Yes.
Where do we start? Let's do this. First impressions. Mel, first impression.
My first impression is that this is the most damaging interview that we've ever seen about the royal family. If you thought Diana's interview in 1995 was bad, that was just the accusation or talking about infidelity. This is way bigger. Ooh. Somebody just blew up the royal family,
say, honey,
basically.
Who would think Oprah and Tyler Perry could expose the monarchy?
Yeah. Justin, first thoughts.
She was ready.
She was ready.
They were ready.
They were ready.
This has been a 2-year-plus experience for them, and they finally got to tell their side of the story because, as we heard, she was silenced. She said she was silenced.
She was silenced. My first impression was literally, I was just screaming. I was with Mel last night. She heard it. I was like screaming. I just was in shock. I thought she was gonna take off the gloves and do a fight, but no. She had those gloves on. She was like, I don't know the phrase. The phrase is that she dropped every bombshell that she possibly could have, and it was one after another. We kept saying like, that's the biggest story. There's the headline. That's the biggest story.
Right.
Nope.
I mean, honestly,
it was
a news story.
riveting. It was absolutely riveting. I was like, this is going to go down in history with all the other ones. I mean, we talking race, we talking family problems.
Colorism.
Okay, everything. I was like, this is so good. Okay, back to you, honey.
No. Okay. I felt exactly the same. It was so shocking. Every single thing that came out of her mouth. And you have to bear in mind, the royal family exists on this idea of mystery. We know a little bit about what's going on behind palace walls. We don't know everything. What Meghan and Harry yesterday, two people who were in the inner circle, did is they exposed the lot. They said, this is no fairy tale. This is not what you've ever thought it was. This was awful. It was like being in a prison.
Okay. Yes, honey. Oh, she did say that. She absolutely said, it's not what it looks like. She said, but does anybody care what it feels like?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Honey, I was there.
Okay, so left this interview, whenever it was over, what were your feelings? Did you believe everything she said?
Hell yeah! Oh, can I say that?
Yeah. Ew,
I believed everything she said, and I believe she was holding some stuff back.
Wow.
I'm not gonna ruin the whole family because my husband, that's still his grandma and daddy and all that. I'm not gonna say everything, but I'm going to say what needs to be said. Let's go ahead and pull the veil back.
100%.
Let's go, especially when, let me tell you, it's too much because it was all about being a mom. At the bottom line, she's like, I'm a mother. You're going to, my kid Archie, that's my baby. You're going to give him no title, no security, no picture, and no explanation. I'd have blown up the whole place.
Okay, I'm with you. But I want to talk about the title thing.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a direct reflection of a dig against Meghan and Harry and Archie? Or is that usual? Is that unusual or usual?
So actually the title thing, I do think that deserves a little bit more explanation because it wasn't given last night. Archie was not going to get a title until, not to become a prince, until Charles becomes king. That is the letters patent law from 1917. It was then amended later on, but that is how it is. It's like when Charles becomes king, then Archie becomes a grandson of the monarch. That's different. But right now, he is not entitled to have a title, and Harry would have known that.
But that should not
have been a surprise.
But why does Kate's children have titles?
Because William is going to become king. So actually, George, Charlotte, and Louis are direct heirs because of their father.
Well, that's interesting to point out because that kind of, it's a different story, right? Like, because the narrative they were given, or the narrative that we were understanding from the interview last night, was that it was a knock against Meghan and Harry specifically.
Yes.
That they would not give Archie that title.
It was more about the protection of the baby.
Does that go with
I
security?
Think.
Does the title go with security?
Yes. But here's what's so interesting about this is that Harry's children should not have royal protection according to the law at the moment. But Harry is also, he was in Afghanistan, right? Like, he was in service for the United Kingdom. We know that there were stronger threats against Meghan in the UK. There was even an anthrax threat. So theoretically, Meghan and Harry absolutely had an argument to say, look, we are more in danger than other members of the royal family, no matter what the law is. Like, you need to look after
and
us. And I think they had a right to
say
that.
Is exponentially more than other royal members of the family.
100%.
Even, who was it, Princess Anne's children who don't have titles?
Yeah,
right? Do I have that
that's
correct?
It. It's exactly.
Ooh.
Sarah Phillips. So it's just kind of, I understand Meghan saying, I want my child, my son, to be protected.
Yes.
I understand that.
You understood.
I think she screwed up on one part.
What part?
What?
I think before they went into that interview, I think the conversation about who talked to Harry about what color her baby was gonna be was something that was not only off limits for Oprah, but I think as a couple, they were supposed to keep that between themselves. And you can tell once she let the cat out the bag and she saw Oprah's response.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I think she knew, she looked around a little bit like, oh, like, yes, this is my truth, but this is something my husband and I probably didn't want to come out and we had agreed would never come out. So when he came out and she was like, so who had the conversation with you about your baby's color? He said, I'm not talking about that.
But yeah. That's Oprah's job to push. I don't care what you say. Oprah is a queen. She's going to ask the right questions.
Yes.
To find out if he's going to slip and say who it is, and he protected somebody. But that's the first time I ever saw Oprah Winfrey speechless.
Me too.
But it's not Oprah's job. But as my wife, or my husband, if we decide that we are not going to go somewhere ever in our lives, we're never going to let our kid know that this ever happened because we don't want to destroy our relationship with our family, or we wouldn't want our kid to know that somebody in our family was questioning, you know, the color of his skin.
Oh, well, well, I think that's kind of a boo-boo.
What
about, I feel bad. Mel was trying to talk.
I am going to go directly to Mel because I do think she has something to say about this, but I do want to point out that Oprah said on CBS this morning, today, so this is new information in case you did not watch that part, that Harry specifically told her it was not the queen, nor was it...
Prince Philip.
So that narrows it down.
Grandparents.
But Mel, why would Harry never tell about this?
It was the daddy.
You would never.
Because
there's no going back
after this.
You know, there is no forgetting it. I do expect, and in fact, the royal family will have to release statements about the things that have come out in the last 24 hours. They have to. You know, they are heads of, well, the Queen is the head of state of a population of the Commonwealth that is like
diverse.
Mixed culture, very diverse, and is meant to be representing everybody. And that is the most damaging, I think, accusation from last night. Look, you know, Meghan, obviously, she spoke about having suicidal thoughts. There were some other very massive revelations in there. But the race accusation is something that I don't think anyone is ever going to forget.
Okay, there's so much more to dissect. Explosive interview, including what happens next. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. Woo!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did it feel like betrayal when you found out your father was working with the tabloids?
If we're going to use the word betrayal, it's because when I asked him, he said, no, absolutely not.
He said, no, absolutely not. He hadn't been talking to them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he basically lied to you.
And I said, so I just need you to tell me. And if you tell me the truth, we can help. And he wasn't able to do that.
Ooh, that was part of the interview that did not make it into the special. Oprah shared it today on CBS This Morning. Melanie is back to help us break all this down. Let's get to what happens next. Can Harry and Meghan's relationship with the royal family ever be repaired?
I don't think so. I think this is it now. You know, this is, and I think that's why they spoke as well, because actually when Meghan described that story last night, I'm so glad that she had the opportunity to speak. You know, Harry has broken the rule of the royal family, which is to never speak about their private life. He did it very publicly last night, and obviously Meghan did too. And after this, you know, I think William and Charles will see this as a massive betrayal that actually, like, Harry has spoken about things and put the royal family in danger, which actually the royal family is. There is a danger to the royal family now, which is that they are now going to be questioned as far as their part, whether they serve a purpose in society, all of that stuff. That's what's going to happen from now
this
on.
This is the thing. This is the thing.
This is going to be a massive
Not
reckoning for the royal family.
Not him fooling around with his little girlfriend back in the day.
No.
That wasn't the thing,
that's
huh?
Nothing
that's
compared
nothing
compared to
compared to. Nothing. Prince Andrew's connection to Jeffrey
I
Epstein.
Mean,
that's nothing. Okay.
I mean,
all right. Here we go.
Speak on it, sister.
Okay, I'll say, this is the thing.
Speak on it, sister.
Might have a little black baby.
Right?
Are you serious? They got bigger issues that they really need to deal with.
I will say, though, it seems like they value, and I'm not saying that as a judgment, they value their status and their public opinion, the public's opinion of them over their family. Mm-hmm. And it almost seems like the family takes a back seat to the firm.
Yes.
And they put their jobs higher than their family members. What's unfortunate is that every family goes through something like this. Not on this level, but if you look back in your own family history and you look back to 1992, you realize that your aunt and your mother had a blowout about this, this, and this, and the family got involved, X, Y, and Z, and people and families can move past that. I honestly think with time, they can move past it.
But see, but this is the part that I felt like they were trying to make crystal clear, that yes, theoretically, by blood, family. But in all purposes of real life and reality, it's 100% a government and a business. The family tie, to me, is just a biological thing.
Yes.
It's not.
This is about power, right?
Yes.
You have all watched Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
You have all seen The Crown.
Like, Thrones.
There are wars fought over monarchies and over power. And that's what this is about. The power of the monarchy is more important than the family dynamics.
Absolutely.
Look, when Meghan described last night how she felt suicidal and she tried to get help and nobody would help her, mm-hmm. you know, because it was all about, like, just, no, nobody can know about this.
No,
you can't go through this.
This
is about, like, securing our power.
But she made sure to very rightfully and very verbally distinguish the family from the institution, and saying, I went to the institution to try to get help, not saying I went to the family,
yeah.
but then saying somebody in the family questioned what my child was going to look like and how dark he was going to be.
Yeah.
So if you really break it down, it seems like they were trying their hardest to distinguish the family from the institution.
What?
Which, after I watched it back again, yeah, the family messed up. Yeah.
Well, that's
every
it.
Family is messed up.
Ultimately, they didn't do a great job,
they
right?
They didn't do a great job.
If you have Meghan, who's a new member of the royal family, coming in, and first of all, going to see the Queen for the first time and not knowing how to curtsy, I'm like, Harry, you should have, like, helped her with that kind
before.
Of stuff. That would be so nerve-wracking for her. Like, she came in and she did not have the support that she needed from that family.
But
and
neither did his mother.
That's a terrible situation.
The history is repeating itself.
Yes.
His mother didn't have the support.
You're
you know,
right.
We find out later we didn't even have the ability for the crown or the interviews of what Princess Diana was going through. We had no idea what she was going through. And then we talk about history. I'm a little upset that this is even happening because I believe they're all black and they just don't want to admit it. Because what was this? King George III married what? Queen Charlotte, Prince Charlotte, who was a mulatto. So they all black anyway. I'm just mad. This is not the first one. That was too over 250 years ago, they already had a mixed race queen, and now we're like, ooh. Are you kidding me?
It's a little shocking.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
That's
right?
Why his hair is red and curly.
Yeah.
Melanie, let me ask you this question. Meghan didn't have the support going in. No one taught her any of that stuff. No one helped her out. Why did Kate have a different ride to the top than Meghan?
Well, Kate dated William for 10 years before they got married, so she had much more of an opportunity to kind of learn what was going on behind closed doors,
well, and
right?
She's
like,
native.
She did.
Okay, true.
She's there. She's not from America.
But also I would say, and Carissa and I spoke about this last night, like, I think even if Meghan had read every single possible book about the royal family, she wouldn't have been prepared for this. Because, again, this kind of interview, this kind of access, this kind of insight that we've had this morning and last night, we've never had before. You can't look on Wikipedia about what to do when you're in the royal family and how to deal with that kind of pressure, especially in this age of social media. Like, Meghan has gone through an extraordinary situation right now.
Yes, because she thought she was going to be a princess and she turned into a prisoner.
Accusations of racism, we had accusations of bullying or fighting and all sorts of different things happening in that interview, I still don't believe we will get any response
I think
from
we
the
will.
Family. You think that
they
would?
They have to. They have to respond as far as the race allegations that have been made.
Oh, they have to.
But without disclosing the exact conversation, do you not feel it would turn into a she said, he said?
Well, what? Could do.
No. Right now, they're sitting across that table and they're like, look, you need to have a fourth baby. No. We're going to need you to take some heat off of this, so you're going to need to get pregnant,
and
we're going to have to have another baby.
We're going to have to have a distraction, but it's amazing how they're mimicking what's happening over in the United States, how we're both having these race issues. All of a sudden, it's happening over there. It's already happened over here. We've had the fake news. We see how they're acting. I'm like, this is amazing how race becomes such a huge issue when there's so many other problems in this world. It hurts my heart that really the bottom line is because he married her.
I'll just say there are calls this morning from UK government officials as far as whether there should be an investigation into the royal family. You know, they are investigating.
Oh, no.
It was announced last week that they're investigating whether Meghan has bullied previous members of staff. That came out last week. But they're saying, like, if you're investigating that, you also need to investigate whether there is racism at the heart of this family.
I'm going to tell you what needs to happen. They need to paint Black Lives Matter right in front of the palace.
Just go ahead. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Put it in front of the palace.
I mean, honestly, we could talk to you about this for hours, but we just don't have enough TV time. Melody,
thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
So
I was
crazy.
Angry this morning. I apologize because that's what they think. Meghan is an angry Black woman. No, I'm an angry Black woman.
All right, after the break, Jason Sudeikis makes a surprising comment about his ex Olivia Wilde, how she is responding. That is next.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back. It is time to get into today's headlines in the Hollywood Minute. Are babies on the brain for Britney Spears because her boyfriend, Sam Asghari, says he is ready to be a young dad. He told Forbes he wants to take his career and relationship to the next step, and he does not mind becoming a father. Wonder what Britney thinks about that. Okay, the Critics' Choice Awards were last night, and the evening's breakout star was 8-year-old Alan Kim. He took home the award for Best Young Actor, but the big win was his speech. Watch.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank the critics who voted and my family, Isaac, Christina, Doug. Oh my goodness, I'm crying. Oh, Miss Ocean.
Oh my God, now I'm crying. Okay, Alan Kim made us cry, and then we had Jason Sudeikis, stayed on brand, wore another hoodie to accept his win for Best Actor in a Comedy Series for Ted Lasso. Woohoo! He credited his ex, Olivia Wilde, for giving him the inspiration to do the show. And she responded by tweeting, congrats. Oh, I am out of time, but that's okay, we're gonna keep going. And then there was the fashion, menswear, moody tones, they dominated the night. Check out these ladies. I gotta know, what'd you all think of the fashion?
Oh my God, Amanda Seyfried looks so good.
I love all of it. I mean, and usually there's one or two that I don't like, but I love all of those little pants. And Regina looks beautiful in that dress, but I love the pants. That blingy.
But Amanda, I mean, I loved her at the Golden Globes. I love this. It was like, I am ready for this. Yes. I am bringing it this season.
I want all of those.
I hate if you won a Critics' Choice Award last night because nobody knows about it because that Oprah interview was just so spicy.
I know.
I forgot.
Didn't even know what was happening.
You know, I saw it on the guide. I took a little peek and I was right. I got to get back in front of this television.
I know. All right, well, here's a question. How far would you go to get an interview with a major superstar? Like, would you get a tattoo, jump off an airplane? Well, that's what one reporter did just to sit down with Miley Cyrus. Listen to what Miley admitted on The Rock with The Rock This with Allison Hagendorf podcast.
I did the cover of Rolling Stone right after the 2013 VMAs, and I knew what the interview was going to be about. I knew it was going to be like, so we're like, you on drugs at the VMAs? Why'd you go out and shake your ass on Robin Thicke? I knew they were going to give me, so I was like, I'm not going to do an interview unless the dude will jump out of a plane with me. That's the only way that I'm going to do it. And the interview is going to happen on the way to Paris, California, and on the way home. And so I made him go do a burrito, drive through, eat a burrito, smoke a blunt, and jump out of the airplane. Oh, perfect. And get a tattoo. I made him get a tattoo of Rolling Stone on the bottom of the feet, which nothing is more painful than getting tattooed on the bottom of your feet.
I mean, I love you, Miley, but no way in hell would I do all that for an interview.
I would go to the 405 to the 710. That's the furthest I would go.
That is way too much.
It's too much.
That is too much.
By the way,
good for him.
No one cares if you go above and beyond. Like, your boss really doesn't care if you, like, go that hard. I've learned that the hard way. They only care if you go below the line.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not giving enough, then the conversation's happening. But if you, I flew to New York one time. They made me fly my ass to New York for less than 24 hours to go get an interview and maybe come back to be on this show the next morning. Not one peep of, God, we know that must have been hard for you. Like, not a, oh my God, no. We are so happy that you went above and beyond, or nothing. Had I said no, there would have been 6 phone calls from 6 different people
that's
to let
true.
Me know that I was not being a team player. So don't go too above and too beyond. Learn from me.
Listen, I mean, just the fact that Miley said all of that and made this guy do that, I just, that's crazy.
Have you ever done anything like that?
No.
Gone crazy, didn't care.
No, if somebody said, like, get a tattoo on your foot, I'd say, you're crazy. No, absolutely not. I'll talk to you whenever you need some more clout, okay? Just call me later.
But that was the interview to get.
Yeah.
And by the way, have you ever read a Rolling Stone interview?
Yeah.
It always, it literally always starts with, so it was a Tuesday afternoon, and I was walking up to the home. Their interviews give context to how they got the interview, what the setting
that
was.
Is true,
so this guy's interview probably started with a burrito, a blunt, and a tattoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I had to do to get this interview for you.
He
did it from the story.
All right, you guys, coming up, Halle Berry gets ghosted. Uh-oh, where it all went wrong. Next. Halle Berry and her best friend say nothing can come between them, even when they're upset with each other. But they do have a difference of opinion when it comes to ghosting a friend. Here's how they explain it on the latest episode of Bad and Bougie.
If you noticed that I stopped talking to you, you'd give me 48 more hours to have an adjustment?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't.
Because I might send you a text and say, hey, you're ghosting me. What's up? Like, what did I do? What's wrong? Let's come talk it out. And if you didn't want to talk about it, I'd give you 48 hours and I'd show up at your house. Drive up and
48 hours? I wouldn't give you 2 days.
How much time would you give
me? Oh, I'm too needy and I have abandonment issues.
So how much time would you give me?
2 hours? Yeah. I'd give you 2 hours.
I love that. If your friend ghosted you, how much time would you give him to cool off?
Oh, my God. My best friend and I are 2 hotheads. And we're both super sensitive. We're actually in a fight right now.
Oh.
And we've gone a year without talking.
A year?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, let's explain ghosting. Because a lot of people, you know, it's kind of a new term. It is really disappearing without an explanation.
Yes.
And men do that to women, and friends do that. And I'm going to do that to you today. You know who you are. Oh, no.
Huh? Ooh. Huh? Ooh. Sherry Shepherd.
It's just not the Sherry Shepherd. Right? You get upset with your friend and there's no explanation. You're not adult enough to say, hey, I'm leaving you, you know, because my wife caught us. I don't know. But that's what ghosting is.
Yeah.
And I've had a good friend. She didn't really ghost me, but she got married. And what happens when some women get married, they leave your
friendship. They fall off the radar.
Off. And when I tell you, she got married, she was in it like it was a cult.
Oh, man.
Like, I could see her in there. I didn't know how to get her out.
But this is the problem. And I'm having this issue right now.
Okay.
My friend also went into a couple. They've been together for 2 years, had the time of their lives, only did things with other couples, only went to dinners with other couples. Now that that person's single, they want to skedaddle right back into the life. Yes. And it's like, it's been 2 years. My life is a little bit different. I have readjusted my life. And I'm in a pandemic, so
top of that, you ghosted me for 2 years. You neglected me. Don't come crawling back now.
If they were your best friend, like my girlfriend did do that, then she got divorced, and she apologized.
Yeah.
She's learned the lesson, and she said, I should never put my whole self into one person. To try, you know, it is what
it is. And by the way, we all do it. We all first meet a dude, and we all, like, some of us do it for a month, some of us do it for 3 months, some of us want the gold medal and do it for 4 years, but we often lose ourselves in relationships,
yes.
So it's not something that's new. This is an age-old thing. Mm-hmm. I just think the way you come back is what really defines a friendship.
Did you leave any of your friends?
All of them.
No, I didn't leave any of my friends. They're all still there. But I do have a best friend, and we're like sisters, and we would never go probably like a few days tops if we were super mad at each other. But I don't mind a ghosting because...
I do it. I don't mind a ghosting because I do it.
No, I don't do it. But because I'm always the first to apologize. But like with my friend, I know her fighting style, and she needs a day or two to calm down, because if she talks to you when she's mad, she's going to say something she doesn't mean, and we've been down that road in the past, and that's going to make our fight bigger. So I'm like, you take a couple days, calm down, and then come to me and tell me what's really the problem. Because if I ask you whenever you're in the heat of the moment, that list of problems is going to be way longer than it really needs to be.
Where were you 4 hours ago?
All right. Up next, the hidden clues you may have missed from Harry and Meghan's interview. Plus, did they ever lie? A body language expert is here to break it all down. And tomorrow on Daily Pop, we're going to go wedding dress shopping with Heather Rae Young and her Selling Sunset co-stars. It's going to get wild. Welcome back. We've got to talk more about Harry and Meghan's interview. There were some hidden clues in there to help us take a closer look at psychologist, communication, and body language expert Dr. Michelle Cohen. Hey. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay, let's break it right in. Okay, first I need to ask Harry and Meghan, of course they're media trained. Does that make it harder to read their body language?
Absolutely. Because, you know, of course, she's a star and he's a royal, so they know how to manage their body out in public. But there were some secrets going on.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, let's start with it. Okay, so starting with Harry and Meghan, they were holding their hands, fingers interlaced.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. Tell me, what does that mean?
Complete comfort. It's like, oh my gosh, here we go. Let's get ready for this. That shows me that they're really supportive of each other, but also they're very nervous because they don't know what to expect.
Oh, I know. Okay, another thing that was happening was that Harry kept playing with his wedding band.
Right.
Right here, you can see him doing that again. Yeah. What do you think about that?
For me, that was a self-comforting move. Okay, so when we're doing this, it's called havening, or when we're doing this, sort of self-comforting when we're, you know, kind of holding our little fingers or something like that. I don't think it had anything to do about marriage.
No doubt.
I just think it was unnervous.
Okay, all right. So just trying to stay comfortable within the interview. Okay.
Yeah.
Meghan also said she went into the relationship naively and never felt the need to look Harry up online. Let's look at her face right here when she was talking about that. Was that lie or truth?
Okay.
Justin votes lie.
Thank you. Okay, when someone's eyebrows raise and they kind of have that, see that little kind of, ooh. Okay, what that means is like over exuberance, over expression. Mm. So she is protesting a little too much. So she's like, no, I never looked him up online. That to me, I went, and don't know about that. I was a little hesitant about saying she was telling the truth.
I'm sorry, Meghan. That's a hard one to believe.
I'm sorry.
Oprah asked Harry where his relationship stands with his dad, and Harry said he wants to heal their relationship. Mm. From your perspective, was Harry angry during this time? Was he sad? Was he hopeful?
I think he was sad a little bit, disappointed, because you see how he's looking down and to the left? All right. So what that means a lot of times is he's really thinking about emotionally what he's going to say. Yeah. He wants to be very careful because he is a royal. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't want to really offend too much. So you can tell he's thinking,
a little sadly.
I felt at times that he was super uncomfortable. Like he's not used to. He's been trained from birth,
right,
not talk against his family, and then all of a sudden he's doing this. This can't feel supernatural to him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's keep going. We got one more. Okay. What are your overall thoughts? I'm curious to know, like, watching the whole interview, watching the body language specifically, what were your overall thoughts?
Okay, I think they're all really very positive and not lying. Not much deception at all. I think it was about being nervous because they didn't know what Oprah was going to ask.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of looking off to the sides. I think there was a lot of self-comforting doing this. There was a lot of clenching each other tightly for support. So I really think that they were thoughtful in their answers because they looked down and looked to the left a lot. And there was, you know, really a lot of transparency.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so that's my feeling.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here.
My
pleasure.
Breaking
that down for us. You guys can check out Dr. Michelle's LA Talk Radio show on the couch with Dr. Michelle at latalkradio.com. Thank you again. Appreciate it. All right. Still ahead, from Taylor Swift to Rihanna, we're celebrating International Women's Day with Hollywood's top ladies. Don't miss it. Today is International Women's Day, and we are ready to celebrate. So there were tons of women to choose from that are making history this past year, so it's very hard to name just a few, but we definitely have to talk about Miss Taylor Swift. We give Taylor our Best Power Move title for re-recording her music so she could actually own the rights to her own songs. That was definitely a boss move.
Huge boss move. We also want to give a shout out to some of our charitable heroes. First, there's Rihanna, whose Clara Lynell Foundation donated millions of dollars to food banks and helped get PPE to frontline workers. And of course, we can't talk about charity without talking about the GOAT. Dolly Parton donated $1 million to fund Moderna vaccine research. We love them both.
Yes.
Oh, of course. And we, of course, cannot talk about female empowerment without mentioning our most inspirational woman, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris. We were all glued to our screens when she was sworn in as the first female and the first woman of color to become Vice President of the United States. And she inspired girls all over the world with this speech.
We did it, Joe.
While I may be the first woman in this office, I will not be the last. Because every little girl watching tonight sees that this is a country of possibilities. And to the children of our country, dream with ambition.
And there's so much more to celebrate for International Women's Day. In partnership with Pure Leaf, we want to talk about how women can make themselves a priority. We have welcomed life coach Rosie Mercado here with some tips. Welcome, Rosie.
Thank you.
I'm excited to be here. It's a great day.
Thank you so much.
So, Rosie, how does saying no empower us?
Well, there's power in saying yes and saying no. It empowers us as human beings. It gives us self-confidence, but more than anything, it shows self-respect, and it shows people that we're not willing to do something that's not aligned authentically with our spirit.
I love when you said that, because, you know, you have to align with your spirit.
Yes, it's difficult to say no sometimes.
100. Yes. Now, ladies, spill the tea. Carissa, I have to know, was there a time where you felt so stretched thin that you finally said no and it helped you?
Yeah, you know, when Chase, we actually did not have daycare or help at all until Chase was 18 months old.
I remember.
It was just constantly my husband and I going back and forth between his work and my work, and we felt so spread thin that I finally said, you know, I love doing it all, and I wanted to be that mom who could do it all, but I couldn't do it all. I needed help. So we finally put him into daycare, and honestly, it was the best thing for me personally and probably for my marriage as well.
I bet. Rosie, how did her saying no and setting those boundaries help her in the long run?
It's so important to create healthy boundaries in anything that we do, because when we're creating boundaries, we're setting the framework, the foundation to all relationships. And it also informs people around us what we're willing to accept, tolerate, what we're willing to give and receive. And by doing so, we're creating decisions that are going to set us up for amazing, healthy relationships. They're going to send for an amazing career and sets happiness in our life authentically.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's very difficult, though, to learn to say no. It is a practice.
Yeah.
And I had to practice early in my career that I was Curb Your Enthusiasm. There was the Emmys, the Emmy Award, and a party. And I was doing a play on the road. And I have an understudy. And I said, I got to go to the Emmys. I got to go to this Emmy party. And they said, you will lose your job if you leave. I had to make a decision. And I was like, no. I'm going to take a chance on me. I went, I got job after job just from taking that chance.
Wow.
So sometimes I was like, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. Goodbye.
Yeah, no, it definitely takes practice and it takes work, but it builds self-confidence through time. And I think that's the most important, is building self-confidence and understanding that there's power to your voice. And there's power in saying no to the things that you don't want.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Like,
it's not easy.
Next to me. Uh-huh.
What's the best way to say no gracefully whenever it doesn't come naturally to some of us?
So this is something that I love. When it doesn't come naturally, I think it's important to be able to treat people the way that you want to be treated. Acknowledge the request. Don't avoid people. Don't ignore the text message, the email, the voicemail. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Number two, validate it. You know, when you listen to someone and you're telling them, I understand what you're asking of me, validation, that respect there, there's a sense of power that you're saying, okay, I'm listening to what you want from me, but hold on, let me think about it. Number three, take a deep breath in.
Yes.
Understand that there is power to your voice. Speak your truth. There is power when you say no to the things that you don't want, because then you're giving yourself permission, time, and energy to say hell yeah to the things that you do want. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, I want to invite you to stand up and be courageous in saying yes, and be fearless in saying no, because our voice matters, and because we have a right to live an authentic life and to live by things that make us happy.
Amazing.
Yes.
Well, happy International Women's Day to all three of you women.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. I appreciate
thank you for having
it. Also,
me.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Pure Leaf, and thank you for those great tips. You guys can check out Rosie's book, The Girl with the Self-Esteem Issues. It is out now. Ooh, that cover's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
All right, up next, Grammys Wild Fashion. Do you remember who wore this outfit? See how many you can name next.
The Grammys are this weekend, and you can always count on the celebs to go big. And now it's time to play Guess the Grammy Look. Are you guys ready?
Yes,
no,
I'm ready.
I'm not.
Let's start. Can you guess which artist wore this back in 1974?
1974, Cher.
Where's the picture?
It is actually
Cher. I didn't know where I was looking. Stop it.
All right, next one. Who pulled off this dramatic look in 2012?
Oh, I know who that is.
Nicki Minaj. Yeah.
Carissa for the win. Two for Carissa. Nicki Minaj. You better get those eyes checked, Kim. Okay, you might know this one.
I didn't think I would do that.
Let's throw it back to 1990 with this 1990. One right here. Hit, she started her career off as a Lakers girl and was discovered by the Jacksons.
Paula Abdul!
Yes, Kim!
Oh.
Okay.
Yes, Kim knows black people.
Look at her.
Okay.
I almost said J-Lo.
2-1, everybody. 2-1. Who graced us with this leopard print ensemble back in 1996?
I remember this.
Oh, 96.
She's also an actress who have appeared in Empire, Blackish, and The Umbrella Academy. No more pain. No more pain. No more pain.
Oh, that's Missy Elliott.
Oh, my God. I'm taking your black card right now.
Well,
and it's Mary J. Blige, ladies.
Mary J. Blige. I had the M right. Yes.
Good job. No, I didn't know that one. All right.
When you said no more pain, I was like, that's Mary.
I'm like, no.
Well, guys, we're going to have the biggest night of music covered all weekend Saturday. Join us for a special Daily Pop Grammys edition at 11 a.m. Then on Sunday night, the Grammys are on CBS at 8 Eastern. And we're going to have coverage all day here on E! Starting at 4 Eastern.
I just want to point out, everybody.
Singing. It was your singing.
It was not my singing.
Song. Yes, it was.
It was not my singing.
Whatever.
And I also want to point out how much skinnier I look in front of this screen today. So
that's all it is. Hey, happy birthday to our director, Fred. And Fred Daily Pop, wedding picture with Heather Rae Young.
I love you. I love you, Mary J. My bad.